Now, as you drank upon my holy mountain, so all the nations will carry on drinking. They shall drink and gulp it down and become those who are not becoming. Obadiah, that is, chapter 1, verse 16 of the Word Green Version, 2003, being the date of that translation by yours truly. And that's our daily scripture for today, little children. We also want to begin our study, but I have something we might try.
维吾尔族.
Aha, it now works today. The Google translator can now pronounce this expression, 维吾尔.
维吾尔族.
维吾尔. 维吾尔. But it's, they say 维吾尔族. If I just put the word 维吾尔 on the left in the English, and then I translate, I get just 维吾尔.
维吾尔.
维吾尔. So that was what I was saying yesterday. The 族 part is not part of it. Somehow occurred. It's one possible translation, I guess, for that word 维吾尔 is 维吾尔族. But 维吾尔, 维吾尔, let's hear it again.
维吾尔.
维吾尔. 维吾尔.
维吾尔.
维吾尔. The R is R, which is an up and down pitch. R. R. It comes down and goes up at the end. 维吾尔. 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 维吾尔.
维吾尔.
维吾尔. That's the word that's spelled U-Y-G-H-U-R in English. 维吾尔. 维吾尔. And we have today paragraph 8, isn't it? For today's study. Chapter 11, part 2 of the Ark of Urartu, little children, once again. We continue our study of the history breaking or groundbreaking history chronological article, the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. It's not what anyone else says, it's what you say. The general view of historians and the time preceding 500 BCE was undateable because of the lack of reliable records. Terming it prehistory was a useful view, but we preferred to replace it with a family history or a genealogy. The genealogy, thanks to Jehovah and Jesus Christ, his son, dates the kings of Israel, the Exodus, Joseph, the eclipse of Nimrod, the deluge, and Adam in faith. Self-exalted ones be humbled, and humbler ones be exalted. He that's not on my side is against me, Jesus said. Some 400 years before the day of Jesus, Hippocrates wrote, quote, those things which are sacred are to be imparted only to sacred persons, and it is not lawful to impart them to the profane until they have been initiated into the mysteries of the science. The idea, which is also shared by the Bible with the principle, don't put your pearls, don't throw your pearls before swine, also, and the idea of the sacred secret in the Bible. Now, China, which is the word zhong, but it's an even pitch, so therefore it's supposed to be high. Zhong, zhong means middle, as we noted before. That's the word China. And that Shem was given the middle of the earth, we also noted, so that Cainan, Shelah, and Eber were on their journey merely fulfilling what had been already commanded, for they were the sons of Shem through his son Arpakshad. A number of martial arts are associated with the Kunlun Mountains. An alternate source of Taoist martial arts, Kunlun Mountain Fist, is linked to the Kunlun and to the style Kunlun Quan, and the existence of a Kunlun Mountain, pronounced Kunlun, is it? Let's find that again, see if we can pronounce it.
Kunlun.
Kunlun. Kunlun. Oh, it's rising on the second syllable and high on the first. I didn't know that. Kunlun. I had that backwards. Yeah, it's the Kunlun Mountain in Shandong province. Further proves the thesis that the emperor traveled from west to east. Shandong province is, I believe, very far east, right? In China. Maybe we need to search that. They're not going to give us a map here, I don't think, under Yellow Emperor, so... Look up this Shandong. There it is. It's in the very far east of China, as shown here. And it corresponds to the place in Genesis where it talks about the mountain of the east. Let's find out where that is. 11 or is it 10? I think it's in 10. Genesis 10. Misha. It's the word Misha we're looking for. It's 10 and 30, Genesis. Their place of dwelling came to extend from Misha as far as Sephar, the mountainous region of the east. Shandong, it looks like it corresponds with Sephar. Let's see whether we can find out whether there are mountains in Shandong or not. Let's see. Let's see, where can we find that? Demographics. Let's see, I would have researched this probably before. Mount Tai. 5,000 feet. Where are the Taihang Mountains? Where are they located? Oh, right there. Hebei Province. Look at that, Hebei. Very similar to the name Heber. The province Hebei is one of the provinces in which this mountain range falls. And it's, but we can also see that it corresponds well. Let me just duplicate the tab and then come back to where we were looking. Right here, Shandong. Where's the map? There it is. Yeah, that's the very location of Shandong right there. But that, look at even it, the shape of the province is shaped like a bird. Look at that, with the beak facing east and the wings above on the left, and the tail, the bird, it's a bird, even almost shows the feet in a minor representation of the feet. And look at this, see that? So there's that bird's head again, There's the Taihang Mountains, the mountains of the mountainous region of the east. Could be the Taihang Mountains, but it actually encompasses the region of Hebei, or I'm not sure how we pronounce Hebei. Let's find out. I want to know. It'd be fascinating, wouldn't it? Here it is. Hebei province is probably what Sheng is. But let's see how we pronounce Hebei, though. That's more of interest, I think, because I don't think it's going to be like Hebei. Let's take away the word province. Just pronounce the word Hebei.
Hebei.
Hebei. Hebei. Hebei.
Hebei.
Hebei. Wonder what the... There it is. There's the emphasis. It's Hebei. So it's got the down and then up. It's got the... what do we call that? Circumflex? In French, it's called that accent. I think... Is that what it is? Circumflex? I think it's a circumflex. Yeah. It comes down. It's a... concave accent. Looking from above, it's concave. It's this bowl-shaped accent, which comes down and goes up in the Chinese, so it's as a pitch indicator. But the e, the first vowel, he, is upward or ascending in pitch. Hebei. Hebei.
Hebei.
Hebei. That, very similar, is it not, to the name of Heber? The spelling almost identical, absent the R, of course. So, the existence of a Kunlun Mountain in Shandong province, actually is a Kunlun Mountain, in the most eastern province of China at that particular latitude, the province Shandong. Shows or proves the idea that the emperor who was living in the Kunlun Mountains, the Yellow Emperor, traveled east all the way as far as Shandong. That seems to be an indicator of it, certainly, doesn't it? I mean, we see that. Now, so we see that there are two styles of martial arts, one called Kunlun Mountain Fist, and one called Kunlun Quan. How do you pronounce Kunlun Quan, I wonder? Let's see if we can find that out. There's so much to learn, and I just never get the time to do it. So I have to do it while we're actually reading. Kunlun Quan. Kunlun Quan. Kunlun Quan, that's what it is. Kunlun.
Kunlun Quan.
Kunlun Quan. Chen. It's Chen because the Q is pronounced CH, right? So I was trying to get the vowels. I wasn't thinking about the consonants. So I stand corrected. Listen.
Kunlun Quan.
Chen. Kunlun Quan. Yeah, so Q is CH. It's not Quan, it's Chuan. Listen.
Kunlun Quan.
Quan, Quan. Yes, yeah, so the U is also there as a vowel before the U. It's Q-U-A-N in English letters, phonetics of the Chinese. Quan, Quan, Quan. It's a rising pitch. Kunlun Quan is another style of martial art. In the existence of the Kunlun Mountain in Shandong, proves the thesis that the emperor traveled from west to east on a time of the ancient creation of Taoism, spelt either T-A-O-I-S-M or D-A-O-I-S-M. The creation of Taoism by Eber, as we say. The three jewels of Taoism are compassion, moderation, and humility. In brackets, ethics. And thinking is of nature, relationship with the cosmos, health, and longevity. Action by inaction. The test of whether something is true, based on whether one can add more to it, without conflict, applies here. And I am finding that concept is one that was introduced within the genealogy. And I am finding that the Taoist principles do add well with Eber. We can add that information about Eber regarding Taoism without any conflict to the rest of the Bible narrative. The path, of course, has the double meaning. The path of Taoism has the double meaning because it was called the way, right? But it was also a journey. As then of the travel route, the one meaning is, as well as the conduct of one's life. The principles of the Bible thus relate well to the Taoist ideal. Because, of course, we know during the time of the Christians, the Christian faith was called the way. Quite remarkably so. Celestial masters Taoists place, quote, the three pure ones, end quote, above the Jade Emperor in the hierarchy of deities. Three elders representing primary colors, or Noah's sons. If we look back to the chart in part one again, I think we found Fuxi was a quick way to find it when we searched for him, Fuxi. We see that Fuxi is the name of one of the emperors, and Huangdi is the yellow emperor. Forgotten how to pronounce that now, but it's really not important for the current study, I don't think, of this table. But we see Huangdi is not the fourth on the list, so there aren't just three prior to him. So the three pure ones, we can't just say, well, they're the emperors who preceded Huangdi. I don't think we can say that. So there's his name. Let's find out how to pronounce it. I would love to know. I love to know how to pronounce these things. Wei Wuar. Do we have it there already? I don't think so.
Fuxi.
Fuxi? Fuxi? That's the name of the emperor whom we identified with the patriarch Kainan, which in Chinese is the name as we identify him.
Kangjie. Kangjie.
Kangjie. And the name, as we're trying to identify now, of the yellow emperor in Chinese is pronounced, that is the emperor's name, not his. It means yellow emperor.
Huangdi. Huangdi.
Huangdi.
Huangdi.
Huangdi. It's an upward followed by a downward descent of pitch. Huangdi. Huangdi. Huangdi.
Huangdi.
Huangdi. Okay, so the meaning is very often connected to the rising or the falling of the pitch of these syllables. That's why it's so important. Otherwise, you're saying something completely different in Chinese. So we take, therefore, since there aren't just not just three elders or three previous generations prior to the Yellow Emperor, but there are in fact five, the three pure ones we thus take to be the three sons of Noah. he only had three sons, from whom all of the earth was populated, according to the scripture. So we're coming back now to the article, the Ark of Urartu, and that's the completion for today of our study of chapter 11, paragraph 8 of part 2. Part 2 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. One thing I would like to know is how do we pronounce the word for China? That I would like to know also.
中,
Chong means middle, and that's what China means, middle. Let's see, if we put in the word China, we get the word middle followed by the word for country, I believe, is what that is. If we take away the first Chinese word, we have the word country. So putting back the word for China, China country is
中国.
中国. Yeah, the O sound is wa, is a.
中国.
中国. The last syllable is a diphthong of U and O together, with the O being rising in pitch, and that's why it's pronounced 中国, meaning China. In fact, that is the word for China in Chinese. So, we have concluded, and we still have a little bit of time. I wanted to show some things, like I did do a more thorough search. By the way, if you're having any problems in the wintertime, take as much vitamin C as you can. If it's infections, like colds and things like that, just take as much vitamin C as you can before you get to the point of diarrhea. And you can, in the winter, in some cases, I'm finding right now I can take more than 5 grams of vitamin C per day, every day, without any problem with diarrhea. So that means there are certain infections in my body that are my body's unable to suppress on its own in this climate when there's not enough sunshine and whatever the multifarious, you could say, reasons are. There must be many reasons why the body cannot manage the infections in the winter without vitamin C. But vitamin C is not the only thing you can use, as we've been discussing. We can use xylitol as a gargle, a more than 10% solution of xylitol in water. If you gargle that, 10% by weight or more. And that's sort of like three teaspoons in 4 ounces of, not 4 ounces, is it? Let me think. Not 4 ounces, no, 4 tablespoons, yeah. That's right, 4 tablespoons, which is 2 ounces. So a quarter of a cup, yeah, a quarter of a cup, that's what it was. 3 teaspoons in a quarter of a cup, or a tablespoon of xylitol, a quarter cup of water. Make it warm if you want it to dissolve quickly. And, stir that up, gargle with that as often as you need to wipe out strep throat, which we saw is one of the things that xylitol is good at. But xylitol is good at many, many, many things. One of the benefits being, here's a paper from the National Library of Medicine, where the title from 2019 is Xylitol's Health Benefits Beyond Dental Health, a Comprehensive Review. Right, it reduces the risk for dental caries. So you don't just gargle it, you also swish it around in your mouth. But you also use it, I do, personally. It's my toothpaste, and I've never had a cavity so far since I've been using it. And I had many cavities prior. But I also chew xylitol gum, and I brush my teeth every day. At the end of the day, the xylitol gum handles the rest of the day, killing all the bad bacteria during the day. Because I chew 6 pieces of xylitol gum at one time. Every time I chew it, every time I've eaten something sweet or even just any time I eat anything substantial that's not completely safe as far as cavities go, then I will chew the xylitol gum, the 6 pieces. Now, I won't have to chew the gum for its entire lifetime. I can put the gum, take it out of my mouth if I don't need it, because I also can sometimes get a reaction or an allergy to xylitol if I have too much. So I can remove the gum or put it back in, or in many cases I just chew it for its entire few minutes that it takes to get all the xylitol out, and then I'll throw it out, of course, as you normally do with gum. But in skin, xylitol has been reported to improve barrier function and suppress the growth of potential skin pathogens. It relieves constipation and improves bone mineral density, to summarize what's being said here. It modulates the immune system. Yeah, I found, you know, it also reduces, by doing that, respiratory tract infection and other things like sinusitis and otitis. But the thing is, if you take enough xylitol, if you actually eat it and don't just gargle with it, like a tablespoon of it might cause diarrhea, but it will also cure all your illnesses at the same time. Just like vitamin C does, but it's a different kind of feeling with the diarrhea. It's not the same kind of it doesn't feel the same, the diarrhea, with vitamin C. You can tell the difference with vitamin C compared to xylitol. At least I find I can. I know which is causing it. Or I'm just new to this. I'm learning still more about it, but I believe I know which is causing what. Now, xylitol also inhibits cancer cells when dietarily and systematically administered. That's from the National Institutes of Health. Another article found just by searching on Google, does xylitol cure cancer? If we can say, does xylitol cure diabetes? Well, of course it does, because you don't have to eat sugar if you eat xylitol. Therefore, since xylitol doesn't raise blood glucose or insulin levels, that's from a website, diabetes.co.uk. Right. It may be useful for people with diabetes, and it has a reduced caloric intake, also fewer calories than sugar. So you can consider, I've been considering eating it for a long time before I ever had any and have the diarrhea from it. But I think if you eat it regularly, you can eat much more of it before you get any reaction or any diarrhea. But is xylitol good for diabetes? By the way, there's no adverse reaction other than, I mean, the diabetes is not unhealthy. It's just the way that the body reacts. Actually, it's good because it purges your body of a lot of things every time you have diarrhea. But is xylitol good for diabetes? I mean, I don't know any harmful effects other than perhaps dehydration if you're not paying attention to that. But what diseases does xylitol cure? It's another subheading here. Well, that's from that same paper that we just looked at. It can improve the symptoms of diabetes, reduce belly fat, from healthline.com. Because, of course, you're not going to need to eat sugar as much, and that is always going to be beneficial because sugar causes so many diseases. And by the way, look at my arthritis now on my thumb. How much lower that bump is now. Let me put it there. That was definitely much higher, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong, but to my eye, that looks like a lot less swelling of that bump. It should be horizontal across, you know, and it's got a bump on the one side there. But so one side of my thumb knuckle is elevated, but it's also not as red as it was. It's much, much nicer color. And so that's died down. That's been reduced by, I'm not sure what was causing it. what did I do? You know, what did I change? I was eating a lot more bread, of course, so that may have inflamed it. I'm still eating bread, though. I had some today. I had some marvelous rye bread, but I toasted it really hard because I wanted to get it, tried to get it brown, but you can't really easily brown it because it's already sort of soft and uncooked, it seems, partially uncooked, so that you just end up getting it very hot. But the rye bread that I'm eating is, I really like it a lot. I'm eating it with peanut butter and marmalade right now, but, you know, that's like a one time per day sort of thing. I just have that for breakfast or something. But one piece of this rye bread folded over with some good amount of butter, and, yeah, butter I believe is very healthy too. I mean, the high milk fats in butter, but in the 3% milk, which I think is fine and really good. I like 5% milk. If you can get sheep's milk that has more fat, I think that's better. I love it. I think high-fat milk is the best because it has more of the vitamin K2, which is naturally in the fat in the milk when it's grass-fed animals. The milk from grass-fed animals is rich in vitamin K2. But I'm taking vitamin K2 in the MK4 form now, from Thorn Labs. And they make it without vitamin D, so I can take 45 milligrams with 45 drops of this. And that's the recommended amount for certain, it's not recommended, it's just an amount that was used, administered to patients in certain studies that were studying bone density increase. And they found that bone density was increased by the use of 45 milligrams per day, which is a lot more than the 100 micrograms normally administered of vitamin MK7, for example. The K2, same vitamin K2, but the MK7 longer chain form, of which there are many other longer chains also for the MK, or for vitamin K2. It's a menaquinone, the vitamin K2. But, yeah, so take, you can, and it's completely non-toxic, vitamin K2. As far as we know, there's no toxicity whatsoever. So there's no harm in taking it, but you need to take vitamin D with it. You need to take vitamin D with the K2. A lot of people are taking vitamin D without the K2, and that's why they're finding that calcium is causing, or that vitamin D is causing so much harm to people, because they don't even know about K2. They don't even know about vitamin K2. So they're giving all these wrong reports about harm caused by vitamin D or harm caused by calcium. But that's it for today. We studied the Ark of Urartu today, part 2, chapter 11, paragraph 8, and it's January 7th, 2025 of the Common Era. The time is 1920 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much, and in my behalf, this is Sissy. Almost forgot who it was. And this is Star, saying bye for now. That's it for today.